Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset investment frameworks and, of course, the derivative markets. My name is Michael Purvis of Tallbach and Capital Advisors. We're a macro research firm for institutional clients. I'm here with my good friend and fellow markets prognosticator, Josh Silva.
Hi, I'm Josh Silva, Pacific Partners, an asset management firm that focuses on the use of derivatives and options to create better alternative solutions. Today is October 29th, 2024.
Josh, we finished out our last podcast with a tease on gold. So let's talk about gold. Since this last podcast, which was in early October, gold has rallied a further $70 an ounce or so, but that's about 3%. But if you look year to date, it's up 32%, which far outpaces the SPX's 23% return. If you go back 5 years, gold is up about 80%, which is nearly identical to the S&P's return for that time period. But gold, of course, is very different from equities. It produces no yield or dividend. It's a pretty rock that just sits there.
Yeah, those are some pretty interesting statistics, Michael. Personally, I think gold says a lot about actually the world of debt. I think the U.S. in particular, neither party is fiscally conservative anymore. One is trying to generate votes by spending on social programs and the other by cutting taxes. I don't think either is thinking about what this growing pile of debt means, this growing government pile of debt. In other words, this is a problem with governments that we're just going to resume later in the future. But this sovereign debt thing is not just a U.S. thing. This is a global trend with other economies driving mounting debt as well. But much of this debt has been issued against a backdrop of very low interest rates. What we have is a monetary policy / fiscal condition feedback loop developing, which ultimately means that high sovereign debt levels are only exacerbated by higher interest rates. The gold market is saying something, in my opinion, about the continued growth of global debt. Next, we have to look at geopolitics. Recently, there's been yet another announcement of a new BRIC currency. Central governments from some major emerging markets are taking a less than dollar reserve balance sheet and actually increasing their gold reserves. In other words, they're reducing their dollars that they hold and increasing the amount of gold they have, the gold they hold, not herd. While I think the BRIC currency will be a terrible failure, just like the last time, it doesn't change the fact that central banks around the world are growing their gold reserves. Bitcoin is another thing that's becoming more interesting in terms of gold. Bitcoin was a place where gold bugs went recently. It was sort of a new gold, in other words. Those who had issues with central banks or with currencies or with debt started to go into Bitcoin. Those formal gold bugs are now, in my opinion, coming back to gold because kind of Bitcoin sort of proven to be a risk asset. In other words, the volatility of Bitcoin is too high for some of the gold bugs. Lastly, I think, is the question of inflation, which I always think is an important question when it comes to gold. Is inflation more structural than we thought, therefore harder for central banks to tame? Is the move in gold saying something about inflation that we need to listen to more? Lastly, I'd like to say in terms of dollar up, gold up, I think the U.S. economy is winning in every way, and the dollar and the U.S. stocks are proof of that. So, Michael, what are your takes on the gold rally?
Well, Josh, that's a lot to work with right there. But on your comment regarding the U.S. dollar, that's important. Gold has rallied off the lows 2 years ago, as we mentioned, about 90%, and the dollar has been range-bound through that rally, and so have real and nominal interest rates. So we're having a strong bid for gold despite real rates being at some of the highest levels in a very long time. But if you look at earlier very strong gold rallies, for example, 2008 to 2011, gold rallied from the late 2008 lows. That was in the midst of the financial crisis, and gold was about $720 an ounce at the November lows of that year to the 1921 cycle highs that were reached in September of 2011. Well, that was basically 170% return if you traded that along those terms, and about 38% annualized. So 38% annualized is not too far from what we've been doing over the last couple of years. The difference, though, is that gold rally happened against a backdrop of steadily declining real and nominal interest rates and the dollar, which was generally in a weakening trend. Of course, the famous rally in the 1970s was driven by the famous delinking of the dollar from gold in 1971 and then compounded by rising stagflation and a surge in oil prices. that was the ultimate weak dollar strong gold scenario. But there's another interesting feature of this gold rally, which is that it's really been coming with very low volatility. So, for example, if you look at the VIX for the gold, the GVZ index, it has averaged about 16 over the past 2 years, with a high of 23 and a low of 10. In 2008 to 2011 rally that I was just talking about, it averaged 26, had a high of 64 and a low of 15. And during that rally, in the final spurt up to the highs in 2011, the GVZ rallied from 17 up to 40. But what we're seeing today is gold is really, it's a sort of, for the most part, a pretty steady grind. Now, what's interesting about this low volatility condition for gold is that it gets back to your point, Josh, about central bank accumulation. Central banks are not traders. They buy dips and do not sell rips the way you and I might. And so the process of buying dips but not selling rips is inherently vol dampening for gold. Now, recently, we've seen a little bit of a rise in gold volatility. With that, some of the futures positioning and ETF ounces held volumes have made this a bit more of a Wall Street rally. But of course, Josh, the election is next week, and that has to be part of the gold surge we have seen recently. Where do you see gold going after the election? Are we talking $3,000 gold?
Yeah, Michael, in terms of the election, I don't see the results really changing the trajectory of gold that much. I think gold will continue to drift higher until we resolve some of the issues we discussed earlier. The election isn't going to impact any of those points short term. This low volatility rally I continue to see in the cards, and I think 3,000 seems inevitable at this point. The one thing we didn't talk about is silver, though, the relationship of gold to silver. I know, Michael, you have some opinions here, and I think they're very relevant. You should discuss. Michael, what are your thoughts on silver?
Well, Josh, thanks. Silver has had years of underperformance. Silver reached $50 an ounce in 2011, when gold was the year that gold had reached that lifetime high, and now it's just $34 an ounce, while gold is almost $1,000 an ounce above its 2011 high. So, right now, the gold-silver ratio is in the low 80s. It got to the mid-30s in 2011, and even more recently in 2020, it got to 65. That means silver could easily rally to $50 an ounce this time without too much further move here in gold. Generally, when gold really starts going, silver outperforms gold, but it is a very volatile asset and you have to manage risk very carefully here. But Josh, more broadly, I'm with you that gold and precious metals complex is going higher. There's a risk factor to consider, however, as with any investment or trade, which is that if the rally, in my opinion, gets too sort of what I would call Wall Street-y, and really, and the velocity of the move start really getting more parabolic, that can set up, some real downside volatility that you have to be mindful of. And it's important to recognize that gold right now is trading nearly twice its marginal cost of production, and that's a lot there. So you always ultimately have to zoom out and sort of contextualize any commodity for where it sits relative to its marginal cost of production. The one final point on the election, Josh, I do think gold rallies in both election scenarios. I think personally more so under Trump than Harris, but there is another gold supportive scenario here where we just don't know who the president is for several weeks in a very contested and, sort of ugly bout of litigation and confusion. That's going to be, I think, very gold supportive.
Yeah, I mean, as us volatility nerds like to say, uncertainty always supports safety, whether it's buying options or buying puts, or for that matter, buying gold. So I would tend to agree with you there. That's it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis at Talbachan Capital Advisors. You can find me on LinkedIn as well as on Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.